I was saying a little earlier on, it's nice, isn't it, to be able to pay tribute to someone when they're still in good health, still really busy and most of life ahead of them. But we're doing that today for Michael Murphy announcing his retirement from Intercounty Football yesterday.
No, absolutely. A very young man. But, listen, I actually got a bit of a shock last night when I seen it coming through. You know, I had heard one or two things mooted, you know, I think like everybody else. But when you seen the release coming through, it's one of those ones that it stops you in your tracks a wee bit, you know, because I suppose Michael has been such a huge part of Donegal and Donegal's football and history over the last number of years. It's very hard to get the head around the fact that he won't be there. And so when I seen it popping up on my phone, it was sort of that more than anything, you know. It was difficult to get the head around it that he wouldn't be there into the future, you know, as a player.
Jim, obviously, hopefully you get the opportunity to ask Michael himself at some point, but would a decision like this most likely be a sort of a physical decision, listening to your body, or a decision whereby, you know, can I really get my head in where it needs to be to perform at the level I expect from myself?
Well, I suppose that is a very, you know, subjective question, and one that only Michael could answer, really. But from a physical point of view, you know, personally, I would feel Michael is two, maybe 3 years left in him, you know, in terms of, I suppose in terms of how he's lived his life, you know, the training that he has done, the body that he has created and sculpted over all those years. You know, Michael, if you know him, like wouldn't put one wrong spoonful of food into his mouth. He's just the absolute perfect professional in terms of what he does and how he does it, and food and recovery and water and all those things be a huge part of his life, you know, for the last, you know, 15 years. So in terms of the actual physical body to go and do the job, you know, personally, I wrote an article in the summer and I got some criticism over it because in the article I said that I felt that his best years was ahead of him. And what I meant by that was, you know, that he was playing midfield for Donegal for the last number of years, playing out around the middle of the park, and that's a very, very, very demanding role. And I played there all my life, but I played there all my life growing up as well, whereas Michael played most of his football full forward and out, and changed his body shape in many respects to be able to, you know, deal with the demands of the game out there and to control the game, and he did that brilliantly. But I felt then, you know, as the clock would tick on, that he would revert back into full forward and we would see him in there more consistently over the, you know, the couple of years when his career would be running down, and that excited me. I thought, you know, in terms of the people around the country, that he's still on a par with any of them in terms of, you know, his physical stature, his skill level, his free kick taking, all of those types of things, you know. So yeah, it's a huge void, it's a huge loss, and Michael obviously feels that this is the right moment, but it's a huge loss to Donegal.
Another subjective question, I suppose, but I wonder how difficult is it to walk away knowing that maybe somewhere in the back of your head that you have one or two seasons and probably still stand out as one of, if not the best players in the country. It's hard. We know across sport, whether it's boxing, GAA, soccer, whatever it might be, unless you're forced to retire through injury, it's hard to walk away and stay away.
It is, but, you know, there's a couple of different ways you can look at that, you know. Like, he is definitely walking away at the peak of his powers, in my opinion. And the other side of that coin is, you know, and I've seen that with people that I played with myself, you know, there's never an easy ending either, you know. And if you're a person that was used to playing for Donegal and playing consistently season in, season out, and then that becomes a bit rocky and you're on and you're off and you're on and you're off. Like, I broke my leg in 2004, and it was a terrible thing to deal with at the time. And really, I knew once that happened, you know, that was my career over, that I wasn't going to really be able to get back there again. And it was really tough to deal with it. But at the same time, in retrospect, it was actually a really good way to end, because that sort of middle grey area didn't exist. And so he, Michael's walking away, and there's none of that. There's none of that sort of situation where, you know, how long can I go on? You know, how many times can I go to the well? People criticizing him, you know, that hasn't happened. You know, people would love him to be there and still be there, you know. So he walks away at a very high level, and not having to go through, I suppose, that challenging aspect of, you know, maybe being in the team and being out of the team that I've seen with some of my peers, you know, when I was playing.
Yeah, you talked about his dedication in terms of his diet and conditioning. How much of, to operate at the level that he does, how much of it is sort of nature and how much of it is nurture? I mean, you have to, you're born, of course, maybe with a natural talent, but you have to work really hard to maximise it. What's the balance there, Jim?
Well, I think if you were to sum Michael up in one word, it would be focus. You know, he was incredibly focused, and through that focus, everything came from. And everything he did, every aspect of his life was focused on playing for Donegal and winning for Donegal and being the best that he could be. And that permeated the whole way through the squad. And, you know, even at 21 years of age, you know, I didn't have a reservation about making him the captain, because you could see it in him. Everything that he did, you know, he brought that to the table. And I have to say, Greg, it was an absolute privilege, like, you know, from a coaching point of view, to work with somebody like that on a daily basis. It really, really was. And there was no bar, you know. People talk a lot about that, and I think sometimes we sort of pigeonhole ourselves, but really, Michael just kept on pushing the boundaries. And the ceiling, you know, was broken so many times with him, and it would move, and he would create sort of a new space that he could operate in, and then look to push from there again, never sort of happy with where he was at. And that resonated very strongly with the group, with the people around him. And it was a joy to coach that, because, you know, that's what you want. You want people that are self-motivated, self-driven, pushing standards, and everybody else then sort of following the lead. You know, if Michael Murphy is prepared to go to that level, then I'm prepared to do it as well. And that's what the squad becomes. So what he brought to the table was an immense focus and drive, and everything, in my opinion, sort of flowed from that then, you know. The physical aspects, that the speed, the strength, the power, you know, the diet, the tactics, you know, the video analysis, all of those things stem from that, because you're so locked on to being the best that you can be.
And of course, some of I would presume some of your greatest sporting memories are with all the team, of course, but particularly intertwined with Michael as team captain, with that leap of faith that some might see it that you took with him, though it was a no-brainer for you in terms of putting him in there as captain. But shared, I would say, for both of you, some of, if not the greatest memories together as captain, as manager.
Absolutely, yeah. But you know, it's a funny thing, because some of the greatest memories, like one of the greatest memories I have, was standing in McCool Park. We used to play 7-minute games with a 3-minute recovery, maybe 3, 4, 5 of them, depending on the session, at the end of the sessions. And I remember him coming at me at such speed, and me trying to find my feet to get out of the way, and somebody else supporting him off the shoulder. And I just remember thinking, you know, about the level that we were at, and the speed and the power and the intent that was coming at me. And even though I was in the middle of it, and even though I didn't want to get hit by any of them, it was one of those moments where you think, this is a very high level operating group. And that was nothing to do with sort of winning or losing or a big game. That was just a training moment. But it was a training moment that was sort of born out of the fact that, you know, all of them players had put their shoulder to the wheel so much over a period of maybe 18 months or 2 years, that you could see things in training that just you had never seen before in your life on a training pitch. And again, from a coaching point of view, like, you know, or a manager's point of view, that's a very privileged position to be in, you know, looking at people, you know, at that stage he was 21, 22, at the peak of their powers and the peak of their physical conditioning, and just going for it.
Yeah,
and that's only a training ground situation, you know. So there's things like that that's sort of, you know, that sit in your psyche, that are not necessary, they're very far away from the bright lights, if that makes sense.
If you were planning for the next season now, like, would you be going, oh my, I have to do this now without Michael Murphy, or do you look at it and say, as I kind of said to Eamon McGee a little earlier on, you know, there's also an opportunity here for other players that maybe felt in their shadow, or in his shadow, or whatever, or maybe felt they were hitting a glass ceiling or whatever, to step up. You know, I suppose you can look at the future two ways, Jim.
You can, but Greg, the reality is, like, Michael is a generational player. You know, it's a player that only comes along once in a while. He's you know, arguably he's our greatest player ever, you know, and that will be incredibly difficult to replace. You know, Martin McHugh was a phenomenal player, you know, that 92 team. You know, Barry McGowan was a very rounded player. You know, Noel Hegarty was, you know, along with Barry McGowan, probably the best club player in Donegal during that period. But Michael is just, you know, a different level, really, you know, in terms of everything, you know, how he carried the level of expectation, you know, that was on his shoulders from such a young age, you know, what he actually achieved, you know, what he brought to the championship games, and just being unplayable a lot of the time. So he was just a different level, and will open the door for other people, you know, to go and sort of, you know, carry the mantle a bit. But at the same time, you know, there's a huge sigh of relief around Ulster and Ireland today.
You know, it's the opposition that are pleased Michael to plan. Yeah, exactly. The opposition are pleased to be planning with not having to face him, Jim. It's inevitable, isn't he, at some point, if he wants to, and he indicated in his in his press release that he's going to have some involvement in Donegal, if not manage the team into the future. That seems just almost inevitable, Jim.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Michael's been cutting his teeth already. You know, he's been working with the college here and Letterkenny. He's been working with his own club and doing good work as well, and progressing, you know, and he will be... You know, he has been all along sort of, you know, formulating in his own mind, you know, what he would like to do and how he would like to do. And he'll need time now to sort of, you know, to iron out all those things and maybe construct it at a deeper level now that he's a wee bit more time to do that. But there's absolutely no doubt about that. And he'll want to play for his club as well. You know, there's nothing beats playing, Greg. Yeah. Absolutely nothing beats playing. You know, it's just the best feeling in the world. So he'll want to give back to his club as well. But he'll be able to have a little bit more time to be able to marry both now, you know, in terms of playing with his club and also, you know, planning to become a coach. And there's absolutely no doubt, I don't think in anybody's mind, that that will happen. It's only merely a matter of timing, and when Michael feels himself, you know, that he's right and ready to go in and do the job that he will want to do, because it won't be any different to playing. You know, he will want to go in and he'll want to bring those levels that he brought as a player, and that focus that I spoke about earlier, that won't change when he's a coach. If anything, it might increase, you know. So yeah, that's all ahead of him, and that's, you know, it's a very sad day for Donegal today, and it's the closing of a chapter on an amazing player and an amazing person. But that chapter is closed, and another chapter will open, and that's exciting for Michael and the next phase of his life, and what he can possibly achieve as a coach and a manager.
It's a wonderful position to be in, because he's got so much out of him. Jim, thanks for your time this morning. Loads of people asking, Jim, I hope you don't mind, I'm not being cheeky, what's next for you? A lot of people locally last week were hoping, wondering, would you be interested maybe in the Finn Harps job? Obviously, you've soccer managerial experience. People also had you were hoping that you might have even returned to Donegal. What's on your horizons, or anything you can sort of divulge, Jim? Would you be interested in a job like Finn Harps?
Oh, listen, I'm always interested in the right opportunity, and that's where my focus has been since I came home, really. And that's as much as I can tell you, really, you know, Greg. Those opportunities, they're difficult because Ireland is a very small pool in terms of the soccer fraternity in relation to sort of other countries, you know. But the opportunity needs to be the right one, you know. And so,
could Finn Harps sort of be the right opportunity now? Could it be theoretically?
I don't know. I don't. Well, everything's possible theoretically, you know, but the reality is different, you know, when there's always a lot of, I suppose, a lot of data points that come into making a decision, you know. So you know, that's as much as I can say.
No better man than yourself to work out those data points. All right, Jim, listen, we'll watch with interest. And I know this interview's about Michael, so I hope you don't mind me being a bit cheeky.
This is his day, you know. This is Michael's day, and it's been lovely listening to the people this morning, you know, and what they've had to say to him. And sure, his phone is lighting up at the moment, and through time, everybody will get the chance to say what they want to say, you know.
For sure, exactly. Listen, Jim, thanks so much for your time this morning. Have a lovely morning, will you? That's Jim McGuinness there, the 2012 All-Ireland winning manager.